Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, I'm Janice Tennell, your host of Beauty Talk for today, Sunday, December 7th, and we're very excited about tonight's show. Before we start to speak with our guests, I just want to remind everyone that the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. So if you have a question or a comment, please dial that number. Make sure you press the option to speak with the host. And then we'll bring you on the line. You can also join our tweet chat by using the hashtag Beauty Lounge. And my sister Denise is finally on the line here. She has some beauty news for us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. And good evening, Eugenia.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited.
You too. We're excited, too. So we're going to get through this news really, really quickly. Illusions Cosmetics is coming to Charlotte, North Carolina with the Sparkle, Shimmer, and Shine Beauty Tour Saturday, December 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Tracy Riggs Salon. There will be mini makeovers with Illusions Cosmetics, mini manicures with Zoe Nails. There will be a limited number of free blowouts from the Tracy Riggs Salon, and then lash application with the ladies of Lash Love. To RSVP, you can email Sparkle Shimmer and Shine RSVP@gmail.com, and the word and is spelled out. Again, it's Sparkle Shimmer and Shine RSVP@gmail.com. That's next Saturday, December 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Tracy Riggs Salon in Charlotte. And if you are in the L.A. area, Z Palette is having another pop-up shop next Saturday at the Westfield Topanga Mall on the first floor. You can get 40% off your Z Palettes, and that will be from 3 to 8 p.m. Again, Z Palette, Topanga Mall, first floor, 40% off, 3 to 8 p.m.
Nice. And that's just this past Saturday and Saturday coming up, just those 2 days?
Yes, the 7th and the 14th, correct.
Okay, cool. Well, again, as I said at the top of the show, we have an exciting show planned for you, so we're just going to jump right in. We're going to welcome her again. Welcome, Eugenia, to the show.
Thank you.
So we have Eugenia Weston of Senna Cosmetics on the line with us tonight, and we're going to just jump right in. Eugenia, why don't you introduce yourself? I mean, it's hard to believe that some people may not know who you are, but introduce yourself to our listening audience and just let's start from the beginning. What inspired you to become a makeup artist? And just kind of bring us up to date as to where you are today.
Well, what inspired me to be a makeup artist, wow. Bette Midler, who's one of my really long-time customers, clients, mm-hmm. and I just finished working with her again, she always said I was born with a brush in my hand. And I just, I always had this gift. I have a gift, and I never hesitated to know that's exactly what I wanted to always do. I love makeup. I love faces. I love transforming mm-hmm. women. So that's all I've ever done since I've been 13 years old. And it brought me to where I'm at now, and I've been doing makeup for 42 years professionally now. And it's all I've done. And I love it. And I, you know, I've created the Senna Cosmetics line out of a need and just because it was the beginnings of artistry in Los Angeles. And there were no professional makeup artistry lines in Los Angeles. So we were one of the first ones. And I opened up my makeup studio in 1983 and created a whole professional makeup studio. And, I mean, my customers that used to come in there was Michael Jackson, Heather Locklear, Lisa Marie Presley, Tori Spelling. I mean, we were like the only professional makeup artistry line around.
Wow.
So, you know, and we still continue to be. And, you know, a lot of people say, Eugenie, you were a pioneer. And I guess, actually, I was. I am a pioneer of all this
mm-hmm.
happening because, you know, I'm one of the first makeup artists that created a line because I created Senna in 1976.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go.
So
let's
that
go back.
Was, that's a long time ago, but we still
yes.
are making fabulous products. I love creating makeup. I love keeping up with what's happening, and I think that, you know, Senna is very innovative in creating trends of what's,
right.
you know, happening in with makeup artistry. And we have four salons in Los Angeles where we, you know, create makeup for all kinds of women of all ages, all stages. And, you know, I create several collections a year and introduce them to our customers. And we are educated. My staff is educated in all mediums, you know, print work, film, TV, everything. And, of course, we specialize in eyebrows.
Let's go back a little bit.
Okay.
Because I think you are the very first guest, very first makeup artist that I've ever known for me to actually hear them say that they've, you know, been doing this for 42 years. That sounds to me like a whole lot of experience. So you've seen it all. You've done it all. What was actually going on in the beauty world when you first started out? Because I know it's definitely different now.
Well, it was very it was different because we were all developing, and it was
mm-hmm.
it was that those fundamental times, those formative years, really. For what we were doing, because there were no NARS, no Max, no Bobbi Browns, no Trish, there was
mm-hmm.
none of that. So it was formative. We were, like, discovering so many new things. I worked with a very talented company, a woman named Jerry Cosenza, that is the founder of Sebastian Hair Care Products, which I'm sure everybody knows about, because Sebastian was really one of the first companies to come out with their own shampoo and cellophane color line. And I worked with them, and we did shows, and we innovated so many looks and ideas that were not ever done before. It was
mm-hmm.
non-existent to have all this fantasy makeup on platform, to be educating. That was a huge thing. I learned from them how to educate, and I still believe education is so important, and we are still educating our customers, and of course I educate all my staff. So those were the formative years when nothing was out, and it was very exciting, and there was a lot of new colors, and we used to mix our own pigments. We didn't have things to work with then like you have now. We had to create
right.
our product. I had to get loose pigments from different makeup artists. I got pigments from this amazing makeup artist, Richard Shari, in England, and we used to
mm-hmm.
mix it with, like, Vaseline, with water, with whatever, to create looks with vibrant colors that weren't even out. You couldn't find that kind of makeup in the 70s when I first started doing makeup. You could not find any of that. So we had to create our own products, and I know that's why I created Senna Cosmetics, because there was nothing around. So then I went to labs and, you know, made the Senna line, and it's really evolved it's quite sophisticated now. In the beginnings, it was, I mean, it was fabulous, but it was very bright colors because it was the end of the 70s, the 80s. It was, you know, the disco. It was bright,
right.
Fuchsia, magentas, bright colors. It was fun, which actually is really back now. So when I see all those bright colors at the shows and all the YouTube tutorials that everybody's doing, I go, wow. That's how I started. So it was fun.
You mentioned education.
Yes, very important.
Do you think that education for makeup artists right now is in a great place, or do you think that we could be doing a little better with how we educate makeup artists?
Well, no, I think it's good. I think it's good. I think there's a lot more, and I'm really happy about that. I mean, there's teachers and there's teachers. I mean, there's you know, people that can teach better than others. I feel that especially the makeup show, they really are very education-driven, and I think that's really great. And they, I think, are really tops at that. I mean, even IMATS. I mean, there's a lot of good education out. I think everyone has to just find what they're attracted to, what they want to learn.
Right.
And
right.
We're always evolving. I mean, we're always going to be getting better and better and better at what we do. Anybody that's in this industry that is that is an educator is, if you're good at what you do, you're constantly learning and you're constantly inspired and you're wanting to inspire others and teach them and share. I do know that in the old days, people weren't as willing to share as much as they are now because people were always, you know, afraid that somebody's going to take their client or they're going to learn their trade secrets and all that. I really believe now that people are, you know, they want to share their knowledge, and I think that's really great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You talked a few minutes ago about you created Senna Cosmetics back in 1976 out of a need. Talk to us a little bit about what that need was and then what's the philosophy behind Senna Cosmetics.
Well, the need was, since I am a working makeup artist and, you know, just in my beginnings then, I needed different colors and products to create my vision of beauty that were not out there because there was only department store makeup. And it wasn't really the kind of makeup that I wanted to use on my celebrities and my photo shoots and all that I was doing then. And I had to really, you know, find and mix the colors I wanted because in the 70s, the foundations were still not yellow-based. Mm-hmm. They were always that pinky color. And I had to beg and plead with the lab to make me a gallon of yellow foundation so I could mix it with other base tones to get that perfect match. And it's so funny. I had a makeup section in a really big salon in Los Angeles, and it was so funny. The clients, I had to pull teeth to get them to want to have their foundation match their neck. It was so new. Nobody was doing that. And I, you know, my philosophy has always been that, you know, everyone has their unique beauty, and the power of makeup will transform and enhance it, and it's magic. And that transformation has to look real. It has to look beautiful. And since I'm an artist and I love color, and color theory is so important to be a really great makeup artist, and that is something I think that needs more education. I don't think there's enough color theory out there taught in the right way, because that's what you have to know first, and since I've taken color theory classes and I just have an eye for color, a lot of makeup artists that apply foundations and all that, they were using them and they were pink, they didn't match the skin, and that drove me crazy. My eye was like whirling because I couldn't stand looking at that, so I would change women. I persuaded them that they needed to have a foundation that matched their skin and that was going to look really like their own skin, their own self, their inner beauty coming on the outside. And that was the beginnings of that. That was the beginnings of matching the skin in the late 70s because nobody was doing it. And it sounds kind of weird now, doesn't it? Because there's so many great foundations out, and they match the skin, and everybody says that, but nobody was doing it then. Nobody.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
There's still quite a few people nowadays who don't quite match the skin.
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, you know what? I think you have to... The difference about when I started doing makeup and now is that people that were makeup artists in Los Angeles, there weren't many of us because most of the work was in New York. So they kind of boo-hooed on us in L.A. But because of that, I worked constantly on every job. But we were born makeup artists, and all my friends that were makeup artists, this small group of us, we were good at what we did. We were like natural makeup artists, where now there's a lot of wannabe makeup artists, where they don't have that talent, the natural talent. I mean, you can learn, but having the natural talent is, you know, it surpasses. It just takes longer to learn. And when you have the natural talent and you've developed your eye to really see, it makes a big difference. I mean, just like Pat McGrath. I mean, what a master. I mean, because she's no young thing. She's been doing makeup for decades, and she's one of those gals, and Kevin Aucoin, they just have that eye for knowing, you know, what looks good on someone and to capture that person. Even if you're doing a fantasy makeup or a natural makeup, you still have to capture that person. It still has to be balanced and have symmetry for it to look beautiful and to look good. And I think that balance and symmetry is missing in a lot of, you know, new artists. But they can learn. They can learn, especially if they're passionate. You have to really be passionate about it.
Absolutely. And you kind of touched on some differences that you've, you know, experienced and noticed, but what are some other differences about the beauty industry, about makeup, that you've noticed over these 42 years?
Well, I think that especially now there is so many more creative people out there doing makeup. And there wasn't then. There was only a few people. So there's a lot of creativity out there. And I think it gets very confusing, especially to just not makeup artists, but to just the regular public, the normal public that wants to learn how to do their makeup. There's so many choices now. There's so much competition that I really feel that you still need an advisor that really knows what they're doing to still advise. I think that will never change. Even though the industry has evolved and there is so much out there and there's so much good stuff out there, I still think you need that person to teach and educate and tap into who that person is that you're making up. You know, that's really important. And that I think is can't be imitated. That it takes a special person. You know, just like you have your Francois Nars, those people that create. He is a talent. And he's passing on his makeup artistry and his products to others that can, you know, maybe imitate or use their own creativity and their own eye to create. He's an inspiration, as, you know, Pat McGrath and Kevin, they're all inspirations. But the big change is there's just so much out there. I think it gets a little mind-boggling. When I go to these shows and these girls are buying so much makeup. I mean, what do you do with all this makeup? Because basically, when you're doing a makeup on a celebrity, unless you're doing so much editorial that you need all those bright colors, and I mean, I don't know. It's great. It's exciting. It's interesting to me to see how many people love and want to do makeup. And that is a real change. I mean, there are millions, they all want to do makeup. I mean, I can see why. I mean, it's amazing.
It's
been such an amazing career for me. You know, I love it.
I haven't been doing this for 42 years, more like 16 years. But even back when I started.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but even back then when I started, there wasn't as many people out there trying to be a makeup artist. It really wasn't.
Exactly. I know that.
And just like you said, there weren't even as many creative people as you see now. You know, like you said before, you knew who were the creative ones. But now it's so much creativity out there. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, and of course the bloggers and the YouTube and all the tutorials. That's changed the makeup industry tremendously.
Yes.
Tremendously,
absolutely.
As you know. So that's another gigantic change. And the people that are blogging and commenting on products, they're becoming the superstars.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, they're coming out with their own makeup lines and everything. It's fascinating to me how it has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. I mean, that's the of course the newest thing, and that keeps going. Who knows where that's going to go? Into infinity, I think. We're going to be in the makeup infinity world.
Well, Eugenia, one of your many accomplishments is that you are the creator of the first ever patented brow shaping kit with stencils.
Yeah,
tell
I know. I'm really proud of that.
Brow.
And that was from a need, because in my makeup studios, we always performed eyebrow shaping services. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel that the eyebrow sets the stage for a beautiful makeup. It balances the face. So we do, I mean, to this day, we do so many eyebrow shapings. And just to tell you how I invented it was
mm-hmm.
I had a client that said, Eugenia, you do my eyebrows, and when I leave, they look great, and you showed me how to pencil them in, you showed me how to use powder, you showed me everything, but I still can't do my brows. You have to come up with something. So it was during the holidays, and you know when you have a Christmas card box with the Mylar, the plastic on the top? I said, you know what? I'm going to make you a stencil. I took the plastic. I cut a little square. I put it on her eyebrow. I created the form of her brow that I did for her as a service with an eyebrow pencil. I took my eyebrow scissors. I cut out a stencil of an eyebrow. I put it on. I put the powder through it with a small brush. I said, look.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, oh, my God. And I flipped it over and did the other side, and I said, okay, go home, practice, and maybe, you know, this will help you. She calls me a couple weeks later. She says, Eugenia, this is the best thing I've ever had. I can do my eyebrows. I go, I'm so excited. That's great. And that was that. I made her that one stencil. So then about a few weeks later, her girlfriend calls and said, you know that brow thing you made for my girlfriend? I go, Mary, I think her name was. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I want one. I go, well, come on in. I'll make one for you, too. I have a book of over 600 hand-cut stencils that I made for clients.
Really?
And my husband said, Eugenie, you have to stop hand-cutting these stencils. It takes too much time. So I took from my book, because I imprinted them in a book, and I took the most universal shape, and which is the classic shape for me, in fine, natural, full, and extra full, and we had them die cut and manufactured, and then Form a Brow was born. And really, it really created a whole new category, because then people were not doing brows like we were doing brows.
Right.
You know that. Now, that's a whole other thing, that everybody's doing brows. Nobody was doing brows. So we started that. Actually, I'm not going to give myself total credit, because the girl that I worked for before I created Senna, Bobby Joy, she taught me how to do eyebrows, and I'm grateful for that. And then I opened up my own studio, and I just went on, and we have a huge, huge eyebrow business, huge. And, of course, so many people now do, too, but that's a newer thing. Some people still say, I didn't know you could get your brows done, and there are still so many people walking around with terrible brows. So this is an exploding business. It's going to go on forever, because, you know, teenagers overwax, women lose their eyebrows as they get older. So
mm-hmm.
the brow service
yep.
is here to stay, and I feel
Absolutely.
Proud that we really are the forerunners of that service. And created the Form a Brow, and created many tools to help women and makeup artists be able to create a perfect brow, because makeup artists, there's hardly any brow shaping classes, educational classes out there. There's none, really.
Wow.
So that's a need right there.
Absolutely. Talk a little bit about Senna Cosmetics and some of the products that you offer. And what's new?
Well, what's new, we just came out with a brand new Lasting Illusion 16-hour wear foundation. And I have it made in Italy. It is gorgeous. It looks like velvet on the skin. That is brand new. It is beautiful. Then we just came out with it's gorgeous. A micropoint eyelining pen that is tinier than anything you've ever seen. The reason I make these products like I make them is because I still work in my salons as well, and I test everything out on my customers, and I know how they deal with makeup problems and challenges. So my products are all created to address challenges and to help them to be able to create the look that I want them to have. You know, my clients look really young. I mean, we do all age and all stages, but my more mature clients, they look at least 10 to 20 years younger because of all our products, our techniques. We keep them really looking good. Because I hate getting older, so, you know, I have a thing. So I create serums. I have an amazing primer. We came out with the first BB cream. I came out with my BB cream in 2002. I mean, it was something I needed, the 4-in-1, because my customers didn't want to leave the house having to do all these steps. So, you know, you can have the foundation, you can have your anti-aging, you have your sun protection, you have your moisturizer, you have everything in one, and it's fantastic. And our BB cream, our Barely Base, is unbelievable. It is so exquisite. And oil-free, paraben-free, you know, all of our products are so well designed, and you know, I don't advertise that much, so all of our customers are word of mouth, and I feel really proud of that, because we wouldn't have such a huge client base if my products weren't great and worked, and you know, they're very high performance. Plus, there's so many TV shows in LA that use our products on set. So many, because I'm in the union, so I know all the makeup artists, and so they use our products, and they photograph well. See, I think every woman has to, you never know when the paparazzi is going to be around. I don't care if you're an actress or not. To me, everyone's a star, so you got to be ready.
Right.
And you're ready when you have Senna Cosmetics on your face.
Virginia, I was going to ask you, did you say 18-hour foundation?
16-hour. Where?
16. I thought that's what
16,
you said.
16, 1-6, because you know, there's so much new technology. That's a big change in makeup. Before, it was pretty straightforward. Now, science and cosmetics, technology and cosmetics have fused. So now you've got all these high-performance delivery systems that have changed the way makeup works on your skin. And that's amazing. That is a huge change. Huge change.
Yeah.
Technology.
Well, 16 hours, I may have to get some of that for my new show.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I have women coming into the salon. They walk in the door and they go, I love this foundation. And I have one of my makeup artists that works for me, and she's beautiful, but she doesn't think she's that beautiful. And she told me the other day, she goes, Eugenia, I have to tell you, when I put this foundation on, I feel beautiful. She goes, there's something about it that does something to the skin, and it just makes you look beautiful. And it does. It's amazing. It really is.
Wow. Do you have any makeup artists that you're friends with that work on television that have used, well, I know you said it was new, so I don't know if anyone's, you know, if you had anyone that used it on any of their shows yet. But I was just wondering, how does it how is it with HD?
Good. No, it's perfect. It looks like real skin. You know, I think the thing with HD is so funny to me, because if you do a great makeup with anything, It looks good on HD, trust me.
It does. It does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the HD thing is a hype. You know, I mean, it is new technology, but when you do a fabulous makeup that looks good in sunlight and it's pretty undetectable but transformative, it's going to look good in HD.
Exactly.
It's the skill and the technique that you use.
It your foundation doesn't have to have HD on the bottle to be perfect for HD.
No, it does not. I love that, my new base, but I use my slip cover, which is my cream powder foundation. I've used it for years. I use it on everything, and it photographs gorgeous. But it's your eye. It's how you see things. And then when you look at the trailers or you look at your work on film, you adjust, or, you know, you have to have a good eye, and you have to have color theory training.
Right.
And then you have to study all the, you know, Melissa Street, which I know you probably know. You have to study, you know, the lighting, the film stock, all the new, whatever they're using, the new cameras, everything. You know, you have to collaborate with the DP so that you understand what they're doing, and you have to adjust and coordinate your makeup to that. And every set's different. You have to. It's collaborative. It's really
right,
important
exactly.
to collaborate.
Exactly.
Nice. You know, Eugenia, we could talk all night long.
I know, 40 years, I got a lot of information.
Yes, I know. let's see, what was my next question for you? I was kind of stuck at that 600... 600 hand cut stencils. I'm still there.
Oh yeah.
So.
I have to put that up on my website to show. I mean, I have an eyebrow video, and I show my book.
Oh, do you really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of all my stencils and all my clients' names and the year and yeah, because you know I kept a journal of it because if they need it, if theirs broke, because sometimes the plastic breaks. If they needed a new one, I would just look their stencil up and reproduce it and ship it off to them.
Nice.
We
that
do
be,
a
that...
lot of custom work at Senna.
Oh, okay, you do a lot of custom work.
Yeah, we do custom blend foundation with our matte finish foundation where we, you know, really match your skin perfectly. And, you know, we put it in the bottles and retail it, and we do custom palettes for the customers. It's customized because everybody's so different. And, yesterday when I was working at my Beverly Hills studio, one of my clients said to me, you know, when you come in here and you do have the seasonal palette, but when you walk out, you look like yourself. You can put those colors on all the clients, but everybody looks different. And that's the beauty of Senna, because we key in and we key into each individual, and we don't make a carbon copy. Nobody looks alike. They all look different. They all look like themselves, just a better version of themselves. And I don't know if your audience is more about they're more makeup artists or they're just probably everybody, right?
Yeah, a little bit of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Probably mostly makeup artists, yeah.
Mostly makeup artists, yeah.
And you know what, too? I think that there's not enough makeup artistry in the salon. I don't know if people starting out, I think you should start out in a hair salon. That's where I started, and you can collaborate with the hairdressers, and you can build up a great clientele without investing, you know, a lot of money in a storefront, and you can build a clientele. That's where I got all my connections. From photographers, celebrities, working in a salon. I had a little corner. I had my makeup, and we just did makeup all day long. And you can develop a great clientele that way. And then the word gets out about your work. And, you know, when you do good work, people find you.
That's
true.
No, I was just wondering, Brandy was wondering if Eugenia offers training classes for makeup artists in L.A.
I don't, but I'd like to. I really need to because I'm a really good teacher. I have mentored so many, and I love teaching. I learned that from working at Sebastian because we had to educate. I developed Truco for them, And the Truco Cosmetic line needed training for all their salons. So I educated all of their clients that had the Sebastian hair products. So I educated them on Truco. So I've learned how to teach, and because of learning how to teach, I've learned so much about myself and communicating with people. So I really am. I can do private classes if they get a hold of me.
If you could just do like a one-on-one class.
I can do one-on-one. I can do four people. If I had four, I'd like to do it like 4 to 6 because it's better that way. I have an unbelievable color theory class. See, I teach all my staff that work for me. They have to come to my classes because I can't do everybody, and they have to, you know, they have to reproduce the Senna philosophy. So I am training all the time. So if they want to come to L.A. and hang out, they can. We can talk.
Well, Brandy's in L.A.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she's in L.A. Yep.
Well, she can, you know, Senna Cosmetics, she can look me up and get a hold of me and we can talk.
All right, we'll hook it up for her. Sounds good. What do you think, and I heard you when you were just talking about color theory and some of the other things that you mentioned that we have to do as makeup artists, but what do you think makes a great makeup artist?
First of all, passion. You have to be so passionate. You have to want to practice and experiment a lot, just constantly be putting makeup on people. A great attitude, really accommodating and caring for other people. Being a team player, majorly being a team player. And really studying your art. I think you have to go and buy every single book that you can on old vintage makeup, old cinema, all the latest artist makeup books. I think you have to buy everything, color theory. You have to be researching and studying every second so that you develop yourself. So a really good developed makeup artist has all of that behind them, has a lot of knowledge, and that takes just constantly learning and searching for new ways to learn and experiment with the different products and not be afraid to experiment. And I think all the great makeup artists, they experiment. And, you know, a lot of time, you know, that builds your confidence because you have to build your confidence. You have to be really confident in what you do. And you have to learn from others. You cannot be not open to learning from others. I think great makeup artists are always learning constantly because as time goes, things change and evolve, and you have to evolve with it. So you have to be open and not rigid about it. So I think a great makeup artist experiments, always is searching, I think is innovative, creating new things that people look to. But the innovation comes from, I think, dreaming and just when you have an idea, I think you have to execute it and just go for it. Do photo shoots, find a photographer. You know, most of the makeup artists that I know that are great makeup artists, we did a lot of test shoots with photographers all the time, and you learn. You learn how to work in front of a camera. You learn to work with photographers. You know, you listen. You have to, when a good makeup artist listens to the photographer and then, you know, you collaborate. Just on film, you do the same thing. Whoever you're hired with, you've got to listen to them and not, you know, have a big ego. I don't think a big ego is good. So most of the, I think the real good, talented, and working makeup artists, they don't have egos. So those are the things that I look for and I think is apparent in a good makeup artist. And talent, I mean, natural talent is always the best. But one can learn. I've developed a lot of girls that weren't that talented, and they've gone on to do great things, really great things, just working and learning and listening and doing all the things I just spoke about.
Absolutely. I think, you know,
one of my pride and joys, one of my girls that I taught that actually, because she lives out here with me, and I went to high school with her mother, is Mary Phillips. Do you know who that is?
The name sounds familiar, Mary Phillips.
Well, now she's doing Jennifer Lopez.
Okay.
I trained her.
Wow.
Well, I went to high school with her mother, and that's why she worked with me since she was 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've trained a lot of great people that are out there doing great things. They have their own makeup studios, and
mm-hmm.
they're really successful. Yeah, I also teaching people how to be a professional is very important. That professionalism, that means no ego, no attitude, listening. You
mm-hmm.
have to be professional with your art.
Absolutely, and that's what I was going to say. Like, a lot of the things that you listed, you know, being a major team player and listening and being someone that can be taught, I think, is so much greater than being a fabulous makeup artist. Because, like you said, you can be taught to be better at doing makeup, but no one can really teach you how to have a better attitude or those kind of things.
That's a lesson that you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard lesson to learn. The bad attitude is not good. And if you're like if you're on a shoot and someone's there that is like maybe putting your work down or whatever, you know what? You need to learn from that. You need
mm-hmm.
to listen
right.
because maybe that person knows what they're talking about, and you have to just listen. And you know, I've learned a lot from. I've made a lot of mistakes. But by those mistakes through my career, I've learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot. And because I've listened, you know, when I've done something that doesn't look right or whatever, and then somebody's taken me under their wing and taught me, I'm so grateful because I'm open to learning. You know, you have to be open
right.
to learning. And that's the only way I've succeeded for as long as I have and still work constantly because, you know, I've really learned from great people that were ahead of me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You
yeah.
have to be open to learning.
Yeah.
You have to be. Talk to us a little bit about your Emmy nomination, what it was for, and what went into the look of the actual makeup that was nominated for.
Well, that was with Bette Midler. I think it was 1983. She did a TV
mm-hmm.
film, Gypsy Rose Lee, and she
mm-hmm.
was Mama, of course, and I had to create a 1920s makeup. It was, of course, a period piece, and I love period makeup. I have every book in the world. I just love it. And so I studied it for so long, so I was able to do it. But I did have to adapt it and adjust it for film because film work
mm-hmm.
has to be very critical. It's much different than print work. And actually, in my career, I did mostly print work, so doing film was very new to me. And I
okay.
was very fortunate to have some amazing mentors teach me how to do film makeup. So I learned how to do it, and of course, we did film tests, and I remember the first film test I did. I didn't like it, so we had to do it over again, and I just did a very subtle period, very natural 1920 inspired look for her, and
mm-hmm.
she liked it, so I got nominated. We didn't win;
nice.
We were up against this science fiction special effects film, and it was like in such a different category. I don't know why we were up against them, but we were. And, of course, nobody from there won. But it was great to be nominated.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was taught how to do film makeup by two greats, Bob Mills and Robert Schiffer, who was the head of Walt Disney Studios. And he since has passed, Bob Schiffer, like 3 years ago. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he did Lana Turner, Marlena Dietrich, I mean, Joan Crawford. He taught me how to do film makeup. I sound like I'm ancient. No, but I worked with the greats. I mean, it was because
yeah.
of Bette Midler working with her that...
Mm-hmm.
introduced me to all these really great people because she insisted that I do all her movies. So because of that, I had to learn how to do movie makeup, and she wanted me to learn, and she insisted that Walt Disney Studios teach me, and so I had the best teachers, Bob Schiffer. I mean, he's like legendary, legendary.
Oh yeah.
So I'm so grateful, so grateful. I mean, he did Camelot. He did all the big movies, huge, huge movies. And that he did movies when, you know, what was so great about then. Now this has really changed. And actually, I'm part of that new beginning of change for film. In the old days, they had departments. They had Universal. They all had big makeup departments where they collaborated with the set designer, with the wardrobe, with the hairdresser, and they had renderings. They created all the paintings of what the makeup and the whole image should look like. And all, the whole department, this is when Ben Nye and Tuttle and all of them were in the makeup departments. And Bob Schiffer was like the last of that at Walt Disney. They don't have departments anymore. They just hire freelancers. And you know, that's why some of the makeup for some of the movies, you know, wasn't that good, you know, until recently. It's become a lot better. But it was, you had freelancers doing makeup because they didn't have the money to pay. And they didn't have departments anymore. They had apprentices where when you were in a makeup department, when you apprenticed, you made the eyelashes, you sharpened the pencils of William Tuttle and Ben Nye, you did all that for them, and you had to watch and learn, and then you went up to be a makeup artist to do film. It was a very tight-knit union, and it was very artistic, but then when fashion became very prevalent in film, they almost were too old-fashioned thinking, and so the directors and the producers would hire freelancers like myself, print artists, because they wanted a more current look for the film actresses. So that was the beginning, and that's a big change. There's no department, so now you hire freelancers. And then you can get into the union by just putting in a few hours, I guess. You don't even have to take the test anymore, I don't think. It's changed so much.
Yeah, I think what's happened is with both actually out of New York and out of L.A., they don't do the testing anymore, but you still have to do do the work to get your days.
Yeah, you do. You have to get days.
Yeah. You have to still have to get your days, and I think now because of maybe during the times when they were bringing in freelancers, now what you're seeing is, at least I know in the union that I'm in out of New York, you know, we have departments, and a lot of the artists can do a little bit of everything. They can give the producers the looks that they're looking for. You know, when you talk about fashion in the film industry, they can give the producers the looks that they're looking for, but they also can still do what's required for film. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get away from going the freelance route. You know, so they're getting away from that. So I see exactly what you were talking about, though. I see the change that was happening with that. But now it's a little, I think it's, even though you don't do the test, now it's still kind of tough to get in some areas because even if you're not taking the test, they're looking for you to know exactly everything that that test covers.
Absolutely.
So,
You have to know that.
And because if you
everything has changed, it's all digital and everything. So you have to have all that knowledge.
So if you happen to get in and not know some of the stuff, then you'll probably get in, but you probably won't work as much.
Right, you won't, because I go, whoa, what is she doing?
Or right, he, or exactly. Right. So, so you probably won't work as much. But I see the artists that, you know, probably started out years ago, and they're still doing some of the same things that they did years ago, and they, you know how people that they just stay stuck in one place, they don't want to change, or they don't want to adapt to what's new and what's going on, but you have to be able to do that.
Yeah, you do. You have to evolve, definitely.
You really do.
Yeah, you have to, or you get stuck. You get stuck.
Yep. You get stuck really quickly.
Yep.
Absolutely. And it's kind of hard to get out of it after a while.
Yeah, you got to have that open mind. And I think the shows are great. There's so many shows now where, you know, you can get that education and you can see all the new products coming out to help you, to help each of us, you know, be able to create the looks that are needed in film and, you know, editorial. I mean, photography is really different than film because, you know, you can touch it up and everything. That part, you know, in the here I go again in the old days, when we did makeup, we had to do it so perfect because touching up was so expensive to do because it was hand done. So I have a I had a magnifying glass, and I would look, I would check my work under a 7x magnifying glass just to make sure there wasn't a speck of anything. And I think what that did for me, because I'm a very, I'm known as a clean makeup artist. Everything is like perfect. There's not one fleck, one spot, one, there's not one smudge. I think because of my training then, that's why I still do makeup that way. It's very clean. And that's important to have very clean. Now you don't have to have it clean because you can just touch it up in Photoshop.
Right, exactly.
You know, so it's different. You can be sloppier. I can't be, even if it's Photoshop, I can't be. Well, sometimes I am.
I know.
Oh, it's okay. They can fix that. No. Oh, it's true. It's a lot easier, I'll tell you.
What inspires you?
Oh, boy. What inspired me? So much inspires me. Fashion, I love fashion. I would say fashion is probably my first inspiration. I just love looking at all the what the fashion designers do. I love lighting. I study lighting. I love color. I still study color. I have so many books. There's this one artist that has always inspired me, Serge Lutens. Have you heard of Serge Lutens?
Yes.
He has always been, from the beginnings of my career, one of my biggest inspirations, I would say. Of course, film is. I love seeing how, you know, the makeup looks on film. I love seeing your work and then film and also films, how the set designs and just the creativity that goes into it. It's such a huge collaborative effort. It just inspires me to, when I see a film, how much goes into it, you know? And then as far as, like, when I do makeup, one of my biggest inspirations for skin is children's faces. The skin on a baby's face is so inspirational to me. I try to emulate that on everybody I do. Make them look like they have skin like a baby. That radiance, that gorgeous glow, that lit from within, you know. So that really inspires me when I look at children's faces, and that's how I create my skin looks with the blushes and everything. And so those are pretty much all my inspirations. I love Pat McGrath. I think she inspires me. She's such a great makeup artist. I just really love her. Kevin Aquan, I missed him. I miss him a lot because I always look to see what he was doing next. I think that he was a really great makeup artist. You know, today there are people that stand out, especially like Pat McGrath, but sometimes, you know, I don't see. I love Rochar. I think he's very inspirational to me. I think he's amazing. I love Carla Powell. I think she's a force to be reckoned with. And I like Nelly Riccia, who is a body painting artist, and she's unbelievable. So all these people inspire me. I just get so excited when I see their work.
Yeah, it's a lot of them out there.
There's a lot of talent. There's a lot of great talent. And now because of the internet, you see it now more than you did before. But
right,
there's a lot
exactly.
more people. I mean, there's so many more people in our industry than there was before. There was, you know, there weren't that many. I mean, look at Wei Bandy. When he started, he wasn't even recognized as a makeup artist until later on. You didn't even have credits. The models
right.
did most of their makeup in the 70s and before, you know. Now,
absolutely.
Now makeup artists are celebrities, too. There were no celebrity makeup artists before. They were behind the scenes doing the work, you know.
Right.
Yeah, now everybody's a celebrity makeup artist. That was a whole new thing.
Yeah.
Like with the supermodels,
yeah,
you know. They became the celebrities of the magazines. Yeah. No, it's great. It's a great, great, fascinating business. The magic and the power of makeup, right?
Absolutely. Ooh. Absolutely. So what's next for Senna Cosmetics, and what's next for you? I guess it all goes all together.
Well, probably I'm going to die. There's always something next. I mean, we've just launched in Rite Aid. We're going into 10 Rite Aid stores in their luxury makeup department. That's new for us. Yes, and we're in Manhattan. We're in the Hudson Street Rite Aid. I do sell on Shop HQ, so I go there every few months and sell my products on television. And what else is new? Oh, we're always working constantly, you know. We love our wholesale accounts across the country. We have a school in Ireland, in Belfast, called Snob, an amazing makeup school that distributes our product all through Ireland and the UK, and she's amazing. Una Bowman, she's an amazing teacher, a makeup artist. So, you know, we just take it step by step, really, you know, creating our products. I'm always creating new products. And I'm working on my, you know, I'm done with my spring line that I'm coming out with, and we're going to start doing our photo shoots with that. We do all the trade shows, you know, the pro trade
mm-hmm.
shows. We love that. I want to do a school, but I still haven't decided whether or not I'm going to do that yet, you know. I might, because I love teaching, and I think I have a lot to say about how I like to teach and teach people to learn. So that could be on the horizon for me, you know, because I would do that myself.
Nice.
And I still do a lot of freelance. I still do everything. I work 6 days a week. I work on clients in my studios. I train my girls. I do photo shoots. You know, I don't do as much film. I really never wanted to do film.
Mm-hmm.
I just did because Bette Midler became a movie star. My thing was print. I did a lot of print work, and I really love print.
Right.
But she wanted me to do her makeup, so I had to, you know, I did film. And I don't like those kind of hours. I don't like that. I don't like that life. I don't like the film life that much, you know. But I'm very grateful that I had that opportunity. I do, because it taught me a lot. And it made a lot of money. And it got me, I was really recognized in the industry. As of doing her films and working with her, because she's such a big star.
Right, absolutely. Oh. Well, you know, I'm reading some of the comments on the tweet chat, and I guess I can just sum it up best the way Brandy has put it, is that she said, "I'm so inspired and blown away by tonight's show." And I think that's the best way to kind of sum that all up. Well, I think everybody's kind of feeling that way.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, I love to inspire people. I love to teach. And I still, you know, have a lot of years that I want to do that. And I, you know, I still have so many staff members and new girls that are coming into the industry that work for me that come into my studios, and they get a fabulous training, and they develop mm-hmm. such an amazing career for themselves. You know, they can support themselves, buy houses, cars, and, you know, I really develop people. I love developing artists. I love doing that. And I think, you know, as I get older, I'm even liking doing that even more so than, mm-hmm. like, doing so much, even though I do a lot of work myself. My clients, they can't seem to give me up. So I still do a lot of that. But I don't want to do quite as much of that, you know, as directing. My daughter's the general manager now of our company, and... you know, she does. I do all the product development still, though. I create all the colors, all the products, do all mm-hmm. the testing and all that, because I really love creating products. And that stems back from when I had to do it in the 70s, when there was nothing available
right.
for the vision that I had for makeup, that beautiful vision of natural beauty from within, because it was kind of crude then, the makeup. It wasn't well polished. It wasn't that beautiful look, and I wanted that so bad, and I did it. I could create that, and so, you know, from creating my product, it's just evolved, and I still to this day, 37 years later, because that is when I started Senna, I'm still creating products, and our clients really, really love our products, and they know how hard I work on making the products for them, and I listen to them, and I know what they need. And when my vision fuses with their needs, it creates a great product for them and, you know, for all the people that love and enjoy using Senna products.
I'm sitting here taking notes. Things I need to remember about tonight's conversation, like I just wrote down that you guys are at the Hudson Rite Aid, right? The Sunset
yeah.
Right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm writing that
Hudson
down.
Street, yeah.
And, but they're coming to more writings across the country, correct?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going
okay.
into Beverly Hills, we're in Mill Valley, we're in New Jersey, but we're going into more, and I, you know, I don't have the list, but more,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be on our website.
Okay, we'll watch your website.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So maybe the next time I'm in L.A., I'm going to have to schedule some time to sit down and do your color theory.
Yes, I would love you to. I'd love to see you, of course.
Yes,
please.
I would love to.
Don't
do
hesitate.
That. Definitely.
We're all about
we're
sharing
make that happen.
Everybody, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't even begin to explain how we really enjoyed tonight's conversation. From you saying, yes, I'll do the show, to now, been a lot of excitement about having you on.
I'm really excited. Well, thank you very much. And this is such a great forum that you've chosen to do this for all these, you know, aspiring artists out there and people that are interested in makeup. So you created this, and this is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our last question for you is, what is beauty to you?
Beauty to me is, you know, I think everyone has their own individual beauty, and I like to bring that out. But I think, of course, perfect skin to me is beauty. I am a skin maniac. Perfect skin to me is beauty. But other than that, I think wisdom and kindness and caring and nature, too. I love nature to look to for beauty. Because it's, you know, it's where we come from, nature, and
mm-hmm.
we can't, I don't think we should get too far away from that. There's so much technology, and that's great and everything, but we need to always remember nature, the natural part of where we come from. And beauty, of course, like I said before, is a child's face and their innocence, and they're willing to just experiment and just do it so innocently, naturally. I just get so turned on by that, and I think that's so beautiful. So those are things that I feel sorry is. And just having a great relationship, like with you.
Absolutely.
And your listeners, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was a perfect answer. Perfect answer. That was great. We really, again, I have to keep saying it, we really enjoyed you tonight. Because of how long you've been in the business and your experiences, it just makes the conversation even richer. It's so much that we could just learn just by listening to you talk. So it's definitely been an inspiring conversation tonight. I know in the chat room they were all definitely inspired.
I'm sure
when you get off the phone, you're going to see all the tweets that have been going on.
I also get very inspired by all the new talent out there. And, you know, when I go to the shows and meeting everybody and, you know, seeing – you know, what their style of makeup is and what their vision is. I think that's so great. You know, it's really fun to see that for me. And I like meeting. So I hope when I'm at the shows, I can meet all of the people that are listening, you know, come up to the booth
right.
Or come to LA, you know, look me up and, you know, it's great. And I'm glad that you're inspired by our conversation. I do have a lot of knowledge from working with so many people in the industry, you know, and I've been very blessed with you know, being in the industry. And I know that some of these people out there are going to be able to follow and have that kind of a career for themselves too. It's hard work, but you can't get anything unless you work really, really super hard for it and have that passion for it.
Absolutely. 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 Wow. Well, we're going to have to get you on. We're going to wait. Let a couple of months go by. And maybe we'll get you back on to talk about your spring collection and all that's new. And
my inspiration for my spring collection is very different than all the color out there, because I decided to go totally nude again. You know,
I've always
been into the natural colors because most of my clientele and doing film work, it's pretty natural, and I love the natural look. But I love, you know, layering all those fleshy skin tones, rosy beiges, mm-hmm. and all that. So my spring collection is based on that, and it's about the LA woman, because us out here, they like that real natural nude look. So that's
right.
What inspired me for my spring collection. So stay tuned for that.
Oh, nice, 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 nice. We're going to be looking for that for sure. Well, Eugenia, we thank you again for joining us tonight, and we thank everybody out there who listened and joined us in the chat room. We really appreciate those who are on the phone lines listening. Thank you so much. Brandy and Sharantina and somebody else I saw Renee Hamilton. I had to say her name. Renee, thank you guys for all of your comments and your tweets. And for everybody who supports the show every Sunday, thank you so, so much. And we thank you, Eugenia, because we know you listen in sometimes, so thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. I gotta keep up. You know, your show is part of keeping up. I research and I keep up with everything. So, you know, I got to listen to your show because I learn.
Absolutely.
I learn about the new girls coming into the world, you know.
Right.
To the makeup world. And their questions and their concerns and what they're thinking and, you know, what they like. So, I love it. You know, I thank
Absolutely.
You for that.
So just everybody, we thank you for your support. Continue to support. We're trying our best to bring you the best in the beauty industry every Sunday night. We're going to change. We're changing our format a little bit next year. Still the same great information. Don't worry about that. So just continue to tune in, and we will chat with you guys again next Sunday night. So everybody have a great night, and thank you again, Eugenia.
Thank you. You're more than welcome. I was thrilled. Thank you.
All right,
doll.
Thank you.
You guys are great.
Have a good night, everybody, and a great week.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Janice, are you still there?
Oh, this is